WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
We are cooking on the road to SummerSlam, which is a little over 2 weeks away on August 2nd, 3rd, whatever that Saturday is, live from Cleveland, Ohio, August 3rd. That's the date. So we're not that far away. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Sub Channel, by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Curry Code Rock and Soccer Lins and Ward in the Fortnite Item Shop when you buy the Pirates of the Caribbean this week, Friday, in Fortnite Battle Royale, the ultimate Battle Royale experience, because hashtag epic partner. Anyway, I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
That's not Talk Like a Pirate Day, is it?
No, that's in September. But we know he'll be talking like a pirate when he buys it. Brent. He'll be talking like a pirate.
But yes, get your stuff and, you know, enjoy the Fortnite. Use the creator codes because, you know, hashtag epic partners. But yeah. Oh, we are on the road to SummerSlam and I am here for it.
We got a little personal on this show. And we got, you know, situations brewing for matches people want to see. One of the matches people want to see is Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. So Adam Pearce called out Drew McIntyre, saw everything that happened, and Drew was very upfront. He's, you know, everyone wants it. Pearce said everyone wants it. This Punk wants it. The fans want it. They all want the match. He wants it more than anything in the world. And Pearce is like, we need to leave it all. The pettiness, the emotion, and the irrational behavior behind us. McIntyre said he had to watch from his couch last week, and that was on him. McIntyre said the only option, opinion that matters is the WWE Universe first, and do you really want to see the match? And everyone started chanting for Punk and cheering for the match. McIntyre told Pierce that he's the one with the power and said he can make it official. Adam's like, well, I guess one thing you got to do. You got to apologize to these two referees right here. And McIntyre's like, why? Pierce said they put their bodies on the line. They deserve some respect. McIntyre's like, just make the match official. Pierce is like, I'm not being unreasonable. Just apologize. They were chanting, say you're sorry. He's like, no, why would I apologize to you two after the referees have done nothing but screw me around here? McIntyre said Pierce deserved the elbow to the head. McIntyre said Pierce should be on hands and knees apologizing to him. The people should be apologizing to me. Adam Pierce is like, you're still suspended. He then shoved down both referees and then got face to face with Adam Pierce when Seth Rollins' music hit, stormed to the ring. He went for the stomp. Drew bailed. Drew shelf security, went to the back, and there you go. I have a feeling Seth Rollins is going to be the special guest referee at SummerSlam.
Do you think?
I think.
Or could it just be a three-way?
No, I think we're getting, because of the referee bit tonight, no referee is going to want to be in that match. So the way to do it is you put someone else as the special referee, Seth Rollins.
I could see it. I'm here for it. Overall, this was a fantastic segment. Drew had no right coming out looking like that, like goddamn, sir. But, like, this was a fantastic piece of TV, especially with just Drew McIntyre just acting like the large angry man that we all know he is. Not the angry part, but the large man that he is, you know. But he was angry. He was, like, intense. He and Pierce just had this great, like, connection with each other in terms of chemistry, where they were just, like, in each other's faces, and Drew was pissed, and Pierce was going right back, and, like, just the whole thing was really well done. And then Seth coming out, and just that whole involvement was really good.
Yeah.
So props to Seth for walking around in a large furry jacket in this heat, like, and leather pants. You know, shirt, but, you know, it's like 2,000 degrees outside.
I just looked at the temperature on the computer. It says 87 degrees outside still. It's 11 o'clock at night. Anyway, Zelina Vega wants to get her another chance at the championship. She said the line starts with her, but Sonya and the girls, Shayna and Zoe, said the line starts with them. Zelina made some comments about Sonya's forehead and issued a challenge for the night, which was Sonya's first match back in the ring. She took on Zelina Vega. Sonya got the win. They were beating down on Zelina until the KCs and Lyra Valkyrie made the save for one Zelina Vega, which then also had a tag team match where the KCs took on Zoe and Shayna. Zoe and Shayna got the better of the KCs on this night.
They did. This was good. This was fun.
Building an underlying mid-card promo program for the women. I'm here for it.
We're all here for it. Like, let's go.
There was no damage control tonight because they were in Japan, two of them at least. So they were not on the show tonight. I have a feeling they would have been involved in this situation if they were. All right, let's talk about the Wyatt Six. Just debating where to go. Debating where to go with all this. Let's get this one out of the way. So, earlier today, I was watching the Pat McAfee show. So, in the background, I was listening to it. And then there was a segment where he was talking baseball because there was Home Run Derby and all these things. And they were talking about the All-Star Game and such. And then the You Lied video appeared on his show. And a VHS tape was dropped off at his studio in the middle of the floor. And he was wondering what the hell happened. So, he brought the tape to work, like you do, in the box. Gave it the production, so we got the latest video, and I told you about a month ago, after the first Bo video with him and Uncle Howdy, we were going to get more videos like this explaining the backstory of each person, and this week we got the first one for another member of the group, Rowan. He said he wasn't going to lie; the last few years have been hard, very hard. He said he used to have a family, and they were unstoppable and inseparable. Then one day the whole world changed. He lost a brother. He said the person who believed him more than anyone else in the whole world was gone. It knocked him on his ass. He said in those situations you get up, you wipe the dust off, and you keep moving. And just when he thought he had gotten everything going again, his other brother was gone too. He said he had no more family or will. He said he fell down a well and couldn't get out, nor did he want to. He felt catatonic and was numb to the world. He questioned, would anyone actually miss him? He's just Rowan. Howdy asked the question, after giving him the sheep mask, and how does it make you feel? It says it gives him hope. He said, when he was at his lowest, he reached out to me and pulled me up. He saw a hand and accepted it because he knew he needed help. He had a purpose in his life, and the purpose was to help those like him. He said the mask reminded him of a beacon of hope. He would take their broken hearts and make them beautiful. That was deep.
The range of Eric Rowan. Dear God. I don't think anybody knew he had that in him. I don't think anybody did.
No.
Like, just, he was crying at points, or he was acting like he was crying at points, especially when, like, Luke or Bray, when he was talking about them, he was, like, overcome with emotion. And, you know, it wasn't the flat, like, static Eric Rowan that we remember. It's Rowan, right? And he's talking about this and, you know, everything that's happened and just the range that was displayed from him.
Yeah.
Like, it was just fantastic.
It was very well done. It was best work of his career. And we've said that about Bo, and now we're saying the same thing about Eric. They're really, you could tell it's coming from the heart, and it truly means something.
This is bigger than them.
Yes.
This is truly them coming together as a family and standing together as a quote-unquote family and doing something larger than themselves, and not only picking up the proverbial lantern and carrying on Bray's legacy. It's more than that at this point. This is going beyond Bray's legacy. We have surpassed that. Like, this is no longer about that. Hasn't been for a while. And I think that's what I really love about that, is it's like Bray is present and they talk about his impact on all their lives, which it will be interesting to see the others, how they kind of play into it. But like Rowan is the final surviving member of the original family.
Yes.
That debuted. I think there are other surviving members, but he is the original and only surviving member of the family that's left. So for him especially, it's got to be incredibly just difficult to do this, because I know Brody's death hit him so hard, and then Bray's too, because they were close. They were all so close to each other. And that was the thing about it, was like they didn't really know each other, and then they started working together, and you hear stories about how Eric and Luke didn't like each other, and then they figured out how to like each other, you know, how to become friends. And the uniting force in that was Wyndham, was Bray.
Yeah.
And just how that all came together. So it's like, you having him sit down and talk about that, and talk about what those deaths meant to him, and how that impacted him, and what it did, and how, you know, he's now moving forward, and he's picking up the lantern, and he's carrying the lantern, and he's moving on, and he's going to do it with his new family, is just really cool. Like, this whole thing, like, and the production value on it is so simple, but just the writing, I don't know who's writing this, but they deserve like all the flowers for this, because the writing on this has just been superb.
So you mentioned surviving members of the family. Mm-hmm. One was mentioned in chat for you.
No, I said original family.
She was very
original good. Family.
And then you said, then you talked about the family in general beyond the original. That's where he picked up with Randall, Keith, Wyatt.
No, we don't talk about that, ho. No.
So also Chad Gable was having a conversation with Adam Pearce. They solve the mystery that Bo Dallas is Uncle Howdy.
And he's, we all like, knew that, Chad.
We all knew that. Everyone knew that.
My favorite sell of that was later when he said that in front of the crowd, and Michael Cole was like, duh.
Duh.
Like, that was my favorite part of the whole thing.
So he's like, you know, and Pierce was like, Bo's here tonight. You can, you know, you can address him if you want. And that's what he's going to do. So he's going to go out and address Bo Dallas, call him out. All these things. So as he's getting ready to do this, he interrupts a conversation with Maxine and Otis and Akira, talking about how they're going to help out a friend. They all agree to help out a friend. And Gable's like, yeah, you guys are going to help me. Yeah. And he's like, I figured that Uncle Howdy is Bo Dallas. And Maxine's like, yep, we knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody knows, Chad. Everybody knows.
And he's like, you guys are going to come out with me, right? We're going to be all by my side. And then he's like, no, we weren't talking about you, Chad. We were talking about him, Xavier Woods. We're going to help him against the Final Testament. And he goes, like, he was like, are you guys serious? And gets in Otis's face and is like, yeah, we're serious. And then Gable said it was pathetic and he walked away. So Chad decides to call out Bo Dallas. So he comes down to the ring, and as you mentioned, says he solved the greatest mystery in WWE history. Uncle Howdy is Bo Dallas. Cole's like, duh.
Yeah, duh.
So no fanfare, no music, no nothing.
Bo Which was walks a out. nice touch.
Bo walks out in Wyatt's six shirt and just, you know, in Bo attire. And he gets jumped by these mystery men, the Creed brothers. They just beat down Bo over and over and over again. And he's just laughing the entire time.
He keeps going, yeah.
Assigned for Luke. He takes a German suplex. He takes all their spots. This is the first real action Bo's in a ring on a live WWE show in...
over a year.
No, more than... Well, think about it. When he was Howdy, he didn't do much.
A lot...
He hasn't done anything in since B team stuff.
No, remember he took the dive.
He did one dive, but that was off a stage. That wasn't even in the ring.
But still, it counts.
But I'm talking about like wrestling moves, like repeated wrestling moves and bumps.
He hasn't done that since like.
It's been years.
Forever.
Yeah. So he's just you know, laughing and going yeah yeah yeah, and then he's in the corner. Chad's yelling at him, grabbing his face. And he goes, "There you are." Starts maniacally laughing again. And then the lights go down, and out come the rest of the Wyatt Six. All walking down in their gear. Darkness upon the arena. Bo's just laughing in the corner. The Creeds and Gable finally, after moments, leave. And then Bo gets in the middle like Bray would. Arms spread and goes, "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." As it all comes to an end.
The second they jump Bo Dallas, I'm like, oh, y'all about to die. Like, so hard. Because we all know what's coming. Oh, yeah. And I will just say this. There was one, like, really comedic moment in this. And it's not funny. It's not funny at all. This is just me. Where they walk out because they had, like, the spot behind them. Like, in the entranceway, like, doing the thing. And then they all kind of, like, appeared in the spotlight. And so you see Nikki. You see Dexter. You see Joe. And then out pops Eric in the bunny mask. And they're like, he's so massive. And the mask just makes him taller. So he's like towering over him. So all you see is this giant like bunny mask with rabbit ears over all of them. It was just this moment of comedy. It's like, oh God. Oh God. You know, it's like when they threw Daniel Bryan off of the loading dock for me. I don't know why that was funny to me, but I find it funny. Anyway, I still laugh at it to this day. I think it was just the splat. Yeah. But, like, that was just a moment of comedy to me. But, like, to me, and I told Rock this before the show, and, you know, it's a reasonable justification if they were paralyzed with fear. But my one thing is, like, they're making this really slow, big entrance, right? And the arena's dark. And y'all are standing there watching them walk out the whole time. Like, it took them a good minute to 2 minutes to get to the ring, right?
Yeah.
Y'all waited till they got to the ring to bail.
Of course. That's what you gotta do.
I know it's good TV, but it's like, no. No, the second the fog appears and the lights go out, you run. You get out of there. You haul ass faster than Liv Morgan did. Because there's something bad coming for you. So just go. Just get out of here. Go. Like, that was my one issue with it. But yeah, Bo doing the yeah, yeah, yeah for Luke was a really nice touch. Him hitting the pose with the lantern in the group was really nice. Like, just seeing Bo just being insane was just...
Yeah.
Like, this is all just top tier. This is all... I know some people don't like it, but just the way that they're doing this and the way that they're telling this story and the fact that it's not necessarily based in the supernatural, it is much more reality-based, like you can tell. I like that so much better. And the fact that we went through Bray's legacy, we went through his death, we're done with that, and now we're telling the story. Because I think that's the one thing I don't like when they do angles like this, where it's, well, we're going to honor somebody, is they just beat that into the ground.
They're honoring his creativity, not him.
Yeah.
And
they're honoring the spirit of what he created.
And they're using the characters he created in different ways.
Yeah.
I like that, Bo took a beating. Because it's Bo. Taylor, it's Bo. He's a human being. He should get beat down. Uncle Howdy, though.
Oh, no. Different. Uncle Howdy should murder people.
Murder people, but
in game,
but Bo can take a beating, and I'm good with that.
I just wonder what's the trigger for Howdy, like what brings Howdy out of Bo.
We'll find out.
And I like that they finally cleared up his name.
Yes, even though they used it on YouTube and everything like that. Yeah,
it's now official on TV that he is Bo Dallas, because that was like also the one question is kind of what name is he using, because they're saying Bo everywhere else but they haven't said it on TV, so it's like, well, I don't know, but he's back.
Indeed. Let's see, another big angle on this show included Damian Priest and Gunther. So Damian Priest, which was all over the show, and we'll talk more about him in a moment, he came out to call out one Gunther. Talked about Priest, said that Priest is still confident, carrying the weight of the world while living out his childhood dream of being a world champion. He said he's been gone, but made an honest assessment of Damian. Would you like to know what it is? And he's like, okay. And he was like, you're not living up to it. Your reign has been nothing. Gunther said he wanted to lift the weight off Priest's shoulder, just give him the belt right now, hand him the title, and we could just move on. Priest said that while Gunther had everything handed to him in Europe, he's been fighting for his life on the streets. Priest said that if Gunther is just around for the paycheck, And it's not his dream. He does not need to be here. Priest said he earned his title, and Gunther is the last person who will take the title from him. Gunther said he recognized Priest's hardship and won't question his street cred, but being on the streets is a choice. Gunther told Priest not to blame him or that his parents didn't provide him with a good life, whereas his parents gave him everything. He said, while you were fighting for your life, WWE officials were calling and begging him to sign a contract so they could avoid having someone like Damian win the World Heavyweight title. Gunther said he's taking on the challenge of restoring the honor, the prestige of the sport, and the championship. He said he doesn't understand why all the people don't love you, Damian, because they are just like you. No matter what Priest achieves in his life, he is and always will be street trash. Damian said that for someone who seems to have so much clarity, Gunther can't see what's coming at him. Gunther can't see why he lost the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam. He doesn't have heart and doesn't know what it's like to fight for everything he has. Priest said he will remain champion at SummerSlam, and then Gunther will need to fight from the bottom for the first time in his life because he will have absolutely nothing. Priest said that maybe then everyone would find out if Gunther is more than just a boring, conceited, privileged scumbag. They shoved, went face to face, then Braun Strowman arrived. Thoughts here for a moment.
This was all really good. You've been building Gunther and Damian for a while, but now you're hitting the gas pedal on it, so to speak, and you're really building it up because Gunther is probably going to be Damian's biggest challenge, really, to date outside of Seth.
I mean, he's had hard. He drew strong.
He's had good challengers, but like I feel like Gunther's on a different level.
Yes.
Especially from a physical standpoint, from a physicality standpoint. Like, Gunther's just on a different level. And so it will be curious to see how this goes in terms of will they or won't they change the title, right?
Yeah.
Because they've had Damian, they're transferring Damian, and they're slowly turning Judgment Day back babyface. We see that happening, especially with Damian, where he's kind of being the older brother, father figure to a lot of the group. And, you know, but there's still tension there. There's still problems there. And the return of Rhea Ripley is only going to add to problems to that just because there's tension between her and Dominic. How does she fit back in the group, especially since the group didn't really try to stop Liv?
Which we'll get, right? we'll get into the Liv stuff, yeah.
We'll get into the live stuff, but it's like, it's just, there's a lot going on there in the background for Damian where it's like, I don't think he's necessarily aware of it and he's not really paying attention and it could all blow up in his face. And that's the thing, especially with someone like Gunther who will just come out there and beat him into submission. So it will be a fun time, but yeah, the promo was good. It was great. And then there's Braun Strowman,
who took on Damian Priest. They had a big man battle, big win for Damian Priest. Then go ahead.
Two big beefy men slapping meat.
Yeah, indeed. Afterwards, Gunther came back out. They went at it, chops to the chest, couple clotheslines back and forth. Damian stood tall.
You know what's terrifying is when you get Braun Strowman running.
Yes.
That is just a lot of mass moving very quickly, and I'm not quite sure how you stop it. Other than doing what they did. Like, once he gets going, you can tell it's really hard to stop him. But, like, that whole, when they chucked him over the barricade thing was kind of like, oh, God, he's going at full steam. Oh, God. And the barricade held. It's like, good for you.
It did. Sami Zayn and Ilya Dragunov had an exchange backstage. And Ilya was like, I didn't do this last week to get a title shot. Sami was like, no, I came to you and a guy wanted you to get this title shot. I see a lot of, you're really good. You know, you're great. You're one of the best in the company right now. And he wants to see that same fire and design, you know, toughness and everything. Bring your A game, basically. Braun Breaker had a problem with this when he talked down to Pierce and was like, why wouldn't you think I would have a problem with it? And then Pierce is basically like, I want you to leave. Don't call it. Sammy came to me and I gave him the match because he treated me with respect. You should learn from that. So he was getting security to take care of Braun.
Which we all knew how that was going to end.
That was going to end well. But he left. So we had our main event. It was Sammy and Ilya. Really good main event. Braun Breaker showed back up. Speared Ilya Dragunov. When Sammy kind of pushed him into the spear a little bit. To avoid it, kind of. So maybe he was just avoiding, maybe he didn't push, but he stepped aside, and then he took one of his own to close Monday Night Raw.
If you're going to recover Braun Breaker after the loss, this is how you do it.
And him standing tall at the end of Raw, good idea. Pushing new people, making them the focus. That's what it should be.
Which is what we're all here for.
One other thing that happened on the show before we get to the big story. Sheamus took on Bronson Reed. Sheamus ended up getting the win. Afterwards, Reed was going to attack Sheamus, but Peter Dune showed up and knocked him away with a kick, and then Dune left. Sheamus was like, what's wrong with you? Sheamus turned his back. Peter entered the ring and attacked Sheamus from behind. Bronson Reed's on the top rope. Pete shrugged his shoulder like, all right, whatever. And then he hit the tsunami on Sheamus, left him laying.
Pete's like, nobody kicks his ass except for me.
Exactly.
I get him first.
I get him first, and then you can do whatever the hell you want. That's fine. So a Sheamus and Pete Dunne match should be fun.
That should be really good, really hard hitting.
So Monday Night Raw opened up with Rhea Ripley making her return. Mommy's home. She says it's been exactly 3 months since she was in this ring. It was due to Liv Morgan. Rhea has said Liv's been running around with something that belongs to her, and she doesn't mean Dominic Mysterio, which she'll handle later. She never lost the Women's World Championship. She said Morgan took her out and really just, you know, pissed her off. Rhea called for Liv to come out. Out came Dom with a black rose. Anytime he talked, they tried to boo. Rhea turned her back on Dom. Then Liv appeared on the screen and apologized for her voice that is a long weekend in Mexico and has always been known as quite the screamer. Liv said she originally tried to take Dom from Rhea to hurt her, but then she got to spend time with him and looked into his eyes and, you know, kiss him. And it became very real to her. She didn't, you know, understand at first, but then she got it. Morgan said that while Mommy might finally be home, Liv is finally on top. Dom told Rhea it's not what it looks like. Rhea just ignored Dom, said that Morgan is afraid to face her because she knows it will end her revenge tour. Rhea then challenged Liv to face her for the Women's World Championship at SummerSlam. Liv said she would not run, but Rhea should know that she's not the same person she once was. She will finally beat Rhea and hope to see Daddy down there too. Rhea looked deep into the camera and said, I know you're still listening. That she would not only end the revenge tour and title reign at SummerSlam, she will end her career. And then, without no microphone, she looked in the camera and goes, watch me, which was a nice touch. Dom then goes open the ropes. Rhea's like, no. And then she walks away. Dom chases her with the rose. Stopping there, and then we'll continue on.
When Dominic walked out with that rose, it's like, oh God, you're going to try to Eddie this, aren't you?
100%.
You're going to try to go out there with one rose, a single black rose that was dyed, and try to Eddie Guerrero your way out of this. And it didn't work.
Dominic's dead. Rhea's, chase. Go on.
Rhea's like, go F yourself.
Dom is backstage chasing after Rhea, who then threw up her hand and entered the clubhouse where there's a bouquet of black roses. She goes, what the hell is all this? He's just trying to make things right. Just make it up to her. Slams the door. Damien shows up with a smirk and goes, what, is everything good? He's like, yeah, everything good, but not really. And then Rhea opens the door, throws the roses at him. Dom says it's a little complicated, which was really good. Then where we continue on backstage, Rhea's in the clubhouse talking to the priests for thanking for keeping things together. They are playing WWE 2K24 on the big screen while Carlito watching. Rhea asked Priest if he had help with Gunther or any match with Braun. He's like, I got this. Rhea then asked, why is Carlito hanging out in the clubhouse? And then before he could talk, Dom walks back. And like, can we have a moment? And Damien's like, okay. She's plucking the rose petals while he's talking and throwing them in his face. He said that he's been trying to reach her all weekend and wanted to hear him out. And then she goes, what about the last 3 months? Were you just too busy playing around with your little girlfriend? And Carlito goes, as Rhea walks away, Carlito goes, she's angry, huh? Which was really good. Then we're backstage, continuing on. Dom is talking to Damien. Why didn't he warn him about Rhea last week? Priest said you were too busy with Liv. Priest said he gave Dom advice, but Dom, like, ignored it about the communicating, ignored it all, and, you know, communicating with Rhea, you lied about it. and trying to end things with Liv, Jey Uso showed up and asked if it was true. Jey asked if it was true that Rhea was single and ready to mingle. Priest said, maybe. Dom got upset about it. Jey told Dom to tell Mommy hi for him and then ended the yeet thing. Priest said Dom has been to prison and can't let people talk to him like that. Priest said Dom needs to show Jey and who Ripley belongs to. Dom says Priest was right and he was going to take care of business. He's going to go talk to Pierce and get a match. So, you know, Jey rolling up and doing the yeet and everything. That was good.
That was good.
So we're backstage continuing on inside the clubhouse. Finn and JD said they wanted to address the elephant in the room regarding Liv helping them win the world titles. Riz, no worries. She said Liv played her games and they didn't work, but the tag team titles are back and where they belong. And now it's her chance to get her title back. Dom interrupted and said Jey Uso was talking out of line with Rhea, about Rhea, and so he went to Pierce and got a match. Rhea asked why he's picking a fight with Jey. Dom said he could get the match canceled. Rhea's like, are you a coward? He said he wanted to show Jey and everyone else that Mommy still belongs to him. Rhea was mad. She left. Carlita goes, dude, not cool.
Yeah.
Then it was Jey and Dominic one-on-one. Liv got involved. Liv got shoved into Dom. He's on top of her. Or Dom got shoved onto her. Then she flips it around. She's on top of Dom. She starts to smile. Then Rhea's music hits. She goes, shit. And runs away. She runs through the crowd. Rhea tells Dom, go finish the match. He gets speared. And Jey gets the win. And Jey then does the phone hand sign. Call me.
Okay. Let's talk about this whole thing.
There's still more, but yeah, we'll stop there for now.
We'll stop there for now. Actually, no, we won't. Go ahead and finish it out. No, we'll talk about it.
Okay, because there's one little part.
Yeah.
Dominic's backstage, Damien greets him, said, it was love that you lost in front of Rhea. Speaking of which, take it easy, Priest said. Rhea then walks up, stands next to Dom, says, she doesn't belong to anyone. I'm not yours. You're mine. Hands him the rose and walks away. Now go.
Okay. Number one, this whole thing was a series of like just fantastic television of telling the story and picking up where it left off in terms of Rhea returning last week and where she and Dominic are at, and Dominic trying to like eddy his way out of this with the flowers. And, you know, he's like, I'm sorry, you know, you misunderstand everything. And she's like, go F yourself. Like this, and Damien and everybody else just playing those bit parts really, really well. Especially when Damien was like, I freaking told you. I freaking told you to deal with it, and you didn't do it, so here we are. And just the whole thing was fantastic and so well done, right? I have one issue with it, and this is just coming from me. I don't know if anybody else feels like this, but, and I told Rock this, that it's starting to feel a little uncomfortable, especially when you're and maybe that's the point of it, is that like when you're having like Liv come out and she's trying to get in Dominic's face and Dominic's like, no, 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 no. Like he's very clearly telling her, no, get away from me. Like he's trying to fix things with Rhea. He's like, no, get away from me. And then, you know, you have him get bumped by Jey and then he falls on top of Liv and then Liv like immediately rolls him over and is sitting on top of him and is like touching him, and you know he's not given his consent and everything. And then, you know, obviously it's the setup to have Rhea come out and like run her off, which she does, and Liv freaking hauled out of there. They shot her like running up, like booking it up the stairs in the heels and everything to get away from Rhea. But like that just felt like some of this has just felt really uncomfortable. Whereas like Dom hasn't been an entirely willing participant in this. He hasn't done much to stop it, and neither have the guys in Judgment Day, but like there hasn't been full consent that we've seen. It's only kind of caught in 4K, and like especially as Liv has gotten more and more and more like sort of obsessed, I guess, with Dominic and trying to get closer to him, like it's just gotten kind of uncomfortable. And maybe that's the intention of it, I don't know, but it's like, it's just, okay, all right, you know, with him saying the whole him like saying no thing tonight and then she did what she did, it's like, it's not okay. But it's TV. But it's still, it was like, that was just slightly uncomfortable. And that's just from my perspective as a woman, that it's like, you see that and you're like, no, that's not cool. But the whole story that they told tonight with Judgment Day was really, really well done, especially with Rhea saying at the end, I don't belong to you, you belong to me, because you know that's not the end of that.
Yeah, there's more to come.
Yeah, she's going to punish him for this. And it could be she just kicks him to the curb, and maybe Dominic gets kicked, but we're here for the drama.
We are here for the drama, but that's our show. That was a good show.
It was a great show. Like, they're doing a wonderful job of building the SummerSlam.
They are. But I'll do it for the World Press Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday, we're back live at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have something we're talking about. I don't know what.
John Cena.
But John Cena, thank you. But tune in. It's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
We'll talk about his retirement coming up and who we'd like to see fight. So we'll talk about that Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Friday night, it's GM Battles. Me versus Brent in WWE 2K24. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's game night. Followed by Super Raider Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, it's WTF Sunday, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Back next Monday at Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Chat, it's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock or
Lynn's M Ward.
And the Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. And you can follow me over on YouTube, youtube.com/SMLynn's Ward. And on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero.
This has been The Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack. And right back here for The Raw Post Show every Monday night, along the airways on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.